You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday morning, the 6th of April, 2026. We have a weekend worth of news to go over, of course, most of it having to do with Iran. But actually, we'll be joined in the second hour by a very special guest. You may know him as Danks. And we'll be talking about Salem Media and basically the takeover of Christian conservative media by Zionist Israelis, who are weaponizing our nationalism, patriotism, and Christianity against us. I'm very excited to talk to him in the second hour. I'll take your calls in the third hour, and we'll go over everything that happened over the weekend and see if we can't try to get to the truth through the lies, because everybody's lying on every side, and we'll try to be the only ones out here just genuinely giving you the God's honest truth on these matters. Headline today on the show about Trump having dementia. That's what's being discussed. Whether he is or isn't, the fact is he is now all but openly threatening to use nuclear weapons against Iran out of sheer frustration. And you got to understand how, again, just unprecedented and ridiculous this is. There were times in the Korean War that tactical nukes were talked about being used on the field, since the nuclear weapon, the nuclear bomb, was still a fairly new thing in the 1950s. And they were, you know, trying to figure out ways to employ it other than just wiping out entire cities. Could it be used on the battlefield to take out battalions? There's actually incredible footage of Americans testing this type of stuff using howitzers or some sort of mortar launching device to launch miniaturized nukes on the battlefield. Some pretty crazy footage. They found out that it was not the most usable thing, considering the fact that even if you take out an enemy position, there's radioactive waste that makes it impossible to then take that position yourself for a long time, amongst other, you know, problems with the technology. Even in the Vietnam War, when our country was being torn asunder by the outrages going on there and things were going very badly and it looked very bad for us, still never used a nuclear weapon. The idea that he wants to use one now. Now, the only time that we've used nuclear weapons, and I've said it before, it's almost a miraculous way that nuclear weapons were deployed, because I don't know if you believe in the science and just trust the way things, you know, historically have come about in the official story, then basically it's an inevitable conclusion. Eventually, humanity would in some way develop to the point that they could harness nuclear technology to create weapons. Could have been gone very differently if another group of people with, you know, other ideas got the weapon first. It almost worked out perfectly, where you had this war that went on for years. Obviously, World War II, just absolutely devastating. Millions upon millions of people dead. The type of conflict that would justify the use of such a weapon, especially with Japan being utterly intractable, this iron nation, island nation that had basically programmed all of its people to believe that death was preferable to surrender. You know, they needed a real slap across the face to, you know, get a reality check across them. So the fact that we created these bombs, deployed them twice, but essentially in one instance to end the war. And again, you know, we can debate whether it was necessary, whether the war could come to an end regardless, whether America should have just accepted Japan's surrender with conditions rather than push for an unconditional surrender. I get that there's, you know, historical nuance in all of this, but the fact is we used the bomb essentially once, proved its effectiveness, proved what it could do, and then have not had to use it since. That's almost a miracle in the sense that you can imagine if another country got this, another group of people got this. I mean, what if the communists had gotten it first? What would the Cold War have looked like in that case? Because, you know, there was a time period, probably about a decade or so, maybe a little less, in which America was the only one with the bomb. We were essentially the empire with the Death Star and could have, if we so choose, and again, I mean, there's some debate about this, we could have, like, just kept going. We could have just gone, all right, well, we're the ones with the bomb now, so I guess we're in charge forever. And if anybody tries to oppose us, then we nuclear bomb them. They will never get the nuke because we'll nuclear bomb them if they ever try. And we'll just have a, you know, nation-destroying super weapon and be the uncontested leaders of the world forever. Like, that could have been a possibility if we'd chosen to go that route. We could have eliminated our geopolitical adversary, the communists, who were the only ones on the cusp of having a nuclear weapon. Of course, Israel stole a nuclear weapon from us, so maybe it was inevitable that it gets out. But the point is that it was almost a miracle that this happened in this way, that yes, it was used, so it's not questionable. It's not like, you know, they say theoretically they have this bomb. Like, no, we have it. We used it. It was devastating, and now we've never had to use it again. And if Trump were to use it this time, just think about the difference between World War II with, again, just intractable enemies, suicidal nations to a certain degree, devastating war for years on end, engulfing the entire world on every continent, more or less, except, well, especially Antarctica, if you read certain histories. And it was like at the final hour, just to close it out, to end it all, to finally just once and for all go, we're done playing footsie with you people. Time for the knockout blow. And it's like, you can understand historically how humanity had been pushed to that point, that they found that acceptable and found the situation they were in impossible without it. That's not the situation here by a long shot. Essentially, what's happening here is Trump is being faced with the choice of be embarrassed that you were wrong, take a big old hit on the chin from America's enemies for the utter inadequacy and incompetence of the current war being waged, or use a nuclear bomb. So again, I just want to lay this out. People like to say, you know, well, we did it during, you know, we did it to Japan. Are you saying that was wrong? Like, kind of in a way, I'm not the most in favor of that happening, especially the areas it was targeted, specifically the most Catholic city in all of Japan. Again, there's a lot of sort of religious symbolism around the timing and placement of the bombs, the nuclear bombs to Japan. But it's such a wildly different comparison, like such a inaccurate comparison between this global, impossible, deadly conflict for years on end versus 1 month of frustration because Trump listened to liars and is now embarrassed that it's not going well. That's the worst reason I've ever heard for using a nuclear weapon. That's not even remotely justifiable. So we'll get into everything Trump has said today. He's been, you know, I guess, wandering around giving interviews to people in the White House. But he's not Joe Biden. However, the Easter Bunny does make an appearance. Now, if you're an old InfoWars fan, you'll know during American Journal, probably our favorite clip to play of Joe Biden was him being ordered around by the Easter Bunny, because in a way it just symbolized everything about Joe Biden and America at the time, that this decrepit old weirdo was desperately trying to get contact with children, and you had the literal Easter Bunny pulling him away and ordering, you know, issuing directives to him, and he's literally taking orders from the Easter Bunny. And it's just like, yeah, we live in a Monty Python skit. We live in some sort of real world version of South Park where the president of the United States, that was it. That's it. We pull it back up. That's the exact video. Joe Biden trying to figure out what the hell's going on around him, and the Easter Bunny, sir, you're supposed to go over here, sir. He's like, oh, people, I think I'll get distracted again. Easter Bunny is like, sir, this is the Easter Bunny speaking. You must go to the podium now. What a confusing and horrifying time that must have been for the poor old man. I think I feel sorry for him now. Now we've got Trump standing next to the Easter Bunny on the balcony of the White House and basically giving like a war speech. He's talking about blowing people to smithereens and fighting, you know, the enemies of God. And there's just like a happy little Easter Bunny sitting right there. Like, okay, it's not quite the Biden level, but something has gone wrong here. Once again, why is the Easter Bunny making an appearance in these geopolitically important moments? I don't know. I don't know what to say about it, but it does feel like a South Park episode, kind of. So I don't think he's like, you know, Biden level, where he's literally getting lost in his own backyard, actually incapable of stringing a string of words together. Like, say what you want about Trump. He still knows how to put on a show. He still knows how to keep together in front of the cameras. He's not the embarrassing mess he is. But Joe Biden was. But if he's going to use a nuke, that in and of itself is like evidence of his insanity. And again, you know, we get to some Donnie Darko madness going on around here. Bomb Iran, Donnie. Don't you want to bomb Iran? My God. Find the South Park episode about the Easter Bunny. I mean, this thing may go all the way up to the Vatican. We don't know. We just don't know. So it's like things are insane. I don't think Trump is necessarily the insane one in all of this, but he is saying insane things. He is saying things that represent a break from reality. And it's extremely dangerous. And again, you know, there was a skit, maybe this week, maybe last week, on Saturday Night Live. There's a skit, and basically the premise, the conceit of the skit is it's the Republican Trump-supporting mom having to admit to her liberal children that she no longer support Trump. And, of course, the whole thing is, you know, Trump is kind of a madman. The kid's like, we told you, we knew. And she's like, okay, let me finish. And it's fine. Like, it's kind of funny. But the thing is, they're still wrong about all of that stuff. Like, they're still on the wrong side. Going back in time, it's not like retroactively they were suddenly on the right side of things. They weren't. They absolutely weren't. But it's in this weird kind of situation where previously, as of, you know, 2020, in January of 2020, and even before that, you had people like Nancy Pelosi working together with Milley, right? Milley? General Milley, I think it was. To basically deny Trump his right as the president to dictate war policy. And basically saying, we have usurped him. We have decided that we are more responsible than the American people to choose their president. And we have taken the nuclear football away from him. Like, they admitted that. That's treason on the outset. You can't just do that. You can't just say this is a sovereign right, you know, given to you by the electoral process, but actually we think we deserve it more, and then just take it by force. That's literal treason that should have been charged. They should have been charged with treason, literally. General Milley, you know, knowing that Trump was trying to sort of wage a diplomatic, sort of hardline, aggressive campaign against China, and then contacting China and saying, don't worry about all this bluster. If anything's actually going to happen, I will tell you before it does. You don't need to worry about a surprise from Trump. Again, treason. I consider that treason. Now, I might have a different view, because now we're in war with Iran that was totally unnecessary, totally at the behest and for the sake of Israel, that is going very badly, that is destroying the world's economy. Like, this is a completely different situation. Already, it's gone terribly, and now Trump is trying to correct his own mistake by using a nuclear weapon against a civilian population. Like, okay, now we're in the realm of the 25th Amendment. Now in the realm of using the appropriate measures there in place of a situation like this to legally and lawfully and publicly out in the open, so everybody knows exactly what's happening, maybe remove the nuclear football from Trump. I think we're sort of at that crossroads. Doesn't mean that they were right back then. They were wrong back then. In fact, one of the reasons why it's important to sort of double down and make this argument, Ann Coulter put brilliantly today on X, she says, I really wish, quote unquote, legal experts hadn't screamed bloody murder about every little thing Trump ever did, so now they could speak with authority now that he's actually committing war crimes. Wouldn't that be something? It is a very evident boy who cried wolf situation, where for 4 years under Trump and then the 4 years under Biden, we heard endless hyperventilating about Donald Trump. He was a madman. He's starting World War III. And it'd be like, by what? Asking Ukraine to look into corruption? Like, what the hell are you talking about? He's starting World War III because he, I don't know, wants NATO to pay their fair share. Like, endless hysterics is really what got us into this problem in the first place. Because now Trump, and I'll show you the clips, when he's told directly, this is unpopular, this is different than it was before, he's like, I've heard this my whole career. He's sitting there going, for my entire time as a politician, people have told me what I'm doing is incredibly unpopular, but I win elections. They've told me what I'm doing is dangerous and you know, fatal, and then I win and it succeeds. So for 8 years, he was told lies about the popularity of his policies, the actual effectiveness of them. Now, at a time when we would actually need some appropriate, responsible reporting, it sounds the same as it has for the last 10 years, and no one pays attention to it. So this is your fault. So this is the left's fault, actually, at the end of the day, I hate to tell you. This is the establishment Republicans' fault, again, for crying bloody murder every time Trump did something reasonable and normal and correct when it comes to national security. Now that he's not acting in a way commiserate with national security, it would have been really nice to have, like, responsible, thoughtful people in that position. Which, again, is another reason why I think it bears more weight when somebody like Alex Jones, or even myself, I would say, I've been a little bit less, lenient on Trump for the last couple of years, but I still have been a diehard Trump supporter. I never abandoned him for Ron DeSantis. I never, claimed it was over and he was lost after January 6th. I even understood why he would do something like Operation Warp Speed, which, again, if you go back in time and watch the American Journal from 2020, we were reporting at the time the vaccine is poison before it had ever come out, right? We were telling people, look, the vaccine is poison. It's not good. But the plan of the elite was originally to have the world locked down, the world economy locked down to the point of starvation, to the point where it, like, could not recover. And the main strategy in that was convincing the people themselves to refuse to go back to work until they had a vaccine. So it wasn't even up to Trump. Trump could have said the lockdown's lifted, and he did, like, a ton of times, going, the lockdown's lifted, you don't need to be scared, you got to get back to work. And the people themselves refused because they had been propagandized by the media and the medical establishment, you should not go back to work until you get a vaccine. So that's what they were demanding. So in order to stop the economic destruction that would have led to rolling blackouts and starvation across the world and a total collapse of the global economy, Trump forced them to release the vaccine earlier. It was the same vaccine. Nothing about Operation Warp Speed changed the quality of the vaccine or what was in the vaccine. It only accelerated the schedule of deployment of the vaccine. They wanted to hold on to the vaccine, let the world economy crash, put Biden in, then release the vaccine, credit Biden with the recovery while still knowing that the economy was in such a state that it would never get fully back on its feet and would necessitate even more, money injection than already was necessitated by the lockdowns they forced on Trump anyway. So again, it's like during 2020, we understood why Trump was doing something that in a perfect world, we wouldn't have wanted him to do, because we're not in a perfect world. We're in a world with human beings, many of whom believe the lies of the media and would willingly sit at home while the economy was collapsed around them waiting for the vaccine. And the pharmaceutical companies knew, we have this vaccine, it's ready to go. We could deploy it now, but we're going to wait a couple months until the economy gets that much worse, Biden gets into office, and then we'll release it. They wanted to release it on a political schedule. Trump forced them to accelerate that. Again, he didn't change the vaccine. It's not like the vaccine's bad because of Operation Warp Speed. The vaccine was deployed. Anyway, all of this is to say, they can go back in time, and again, people go, you should have known in Operation Warp Speed. No, we watched in real time as Operation Warp Speed was deployed, and we knew exactly why he was doing it, even though it appeared as though, he was, totally in favor of the vaccine and actually believed it. The reality was he wanted people back to work and people demanded the vaccine, and he was trying to stop the deliberate collapse of the world economy that they are now achieving through him with the war in Iran. And the ultimate, upshot of the war in Iran at this point being devastating economic effects for Australia, many of our allies in Europe, and of course, the respectability and power of America on the world stage. And now he's saying we're doing this for the gays. We're doing it for the gays. We have to free the gays in Iran, and they want us to. And yeah, they might die, but to them, that's better than having to secretly be gay, I guess. You want to watch that? Let's go to clip 27 here. This is President Trump talking to, this is the right one, right? talking about why we have to go to war with Iran. This is just one of many things he said today. Let's watch.
They don't tell you the real facts. Women, men, gays. How about gays for Iran? They kill the gays. They throw them off buildings. So I wonder what's going on. I can only say this. They want us to keep bombing, even if it jeopardized, because their life is in much greater danger. They want freedom for Iran, but it's very hard for them to protest. I actually tell them, I said, don't go out. I fully understand. Nobody in this room would go out. I don't think there's any, because frankly, it's not a question of bravery. We're all brave, right? You're brave. I'm brave. We're all brave. But we're also intelligent. If you have people shooting at you, expert shots with the best rifles you can get and hitting you right between the eyes every single time, and you're looking here and you're seeing and you're looking here, you're out of there. I don't care who.
So I know this is a common refrain. I didn't know how true it was. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people in Iran face severe challenges not experienced by non-LGBTQ residents. Sexual activity between members of the same sex is illegal and can be punishable by death. Contrastingly, people can legally challenge their sex at birth, though only through sex reassignment surgery, which is very interesting. Transgender identity is recognized through sex assignment surgery. Sex reassignment surgeries are partially financed and supported by the state. Some homosexual individuals in Iran have been pressured to undergo sex reassignment surgeries in order to avoid legal and social persecution for being gay. So maybe they're onto something here. I don't know. That is interesting. I don't think they throw them off buildings, though. I think that might be one of our allies. I think that might be one of our allies in the region, actually. Because you understand, it doesn't matter what they say about Iran. Anything you say about Iran being religious extremists applies even more to our dedicated allies in the region like Saudi Arabia. So this whole thing is ridiculous, but I guess just add it to the pile. It's about the nuclear weapons. We're freeing the people of Iran. Actually, we're killing the people of Iran. It's not regime change, but we are changing the regime. And actually, at the end of all of it, this is all for the sake of the gays. We're doing it all so that gay people can once and for all ruin pop culture in Iran. Finally, they'll be able to take over the classic Iranian, intellectual properties. The classic, I don't know, whatever Iran's version of Star Wars is. Finally, after this war, we'll drop a nuke on them, and then, once and for all, the Luke Skywalker version, whatever Iran's version of that is, can finally be a gay man, and the world will be safe.
You know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.